stuff, but I poked my head up about 5 or 6 years ago, and all these, you know, quote unquote new guys had shown up on the scene, and it was like, man, there's some really good songwriters and singers and players. And
does it remind you of like when you got started? Because when you started, it seemed like there was a group of you guys that did the same thing. Just kind of came out of nowhere, and here they are again.
I think so, yeah, I mean, you got John Bauman, you got Parker McCollum, you got Coe Wetzel's doing really good. Cody Johnson. There's William Clark Green. I mean, I guess he's not as new, but he's kind of newer to me.
He's a young pup to you, yeah.
Right, right. And these guys, and I look online, and they've got like, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 records. And I'm like, where have I been?
I got to catch up.
For real. But I listen. I'll do some songwriter shows with them sometimes. And I'm sitting next to these guys, and I'm like, dude, this guy's really good. And I'll go tell somebody in my band or somebody, and they'll be like, yeah, that's Parker McCollum. He's doing real well.
I'm
like, well, he should be doing real well. It's really good.
He's really good.
Good for him, man.
How cool is it to do those songwriter nights when you realize at some point that some of those really young guys listened to you growing up, and you were the reason, you know, they decided to do music?
I hope that's not the case.
They said, well, if that guy can do it, anybody can.
You know, it's funny because we used to always say that. That was our thing with Robert Earl. Not like that, obviously. It was like, man, this guy's like, he's our inspiration. Like, he's doing it. He's going for it. He's singing. He's writing. He's playing. And it's like, man, if Robert can do it, I want to do it. And
right.
It's not like, well, if that guy can do it, anybody can do it. It's not like that. But it can be taken that way. And we always meant it as the biggest compliment in the world. Like, we want to be like you. And so, man, if anybody ever says anything nice to me, I love it. It's just a big compliment. And I'm just humbled to be, you know, I'm just humbled to still be playing music for a living, man. I've got 5 kids. And a beautiful wife, and we're still married after, this will be 10 years.
Oh, congratulations.
October 6th, it'll be 10 years. And I've been playing music since, I guess, 94 or something like that, whenever I quit school.
Yeah.
I made my first record at 96, so it's been 22 years, I guess. And, man, it's just been like, it's been a dream. There was a period of time there in like 05 or so when I got in trouble with the law, and things kind of got a little bit slippery, but ever since then, you know, we just started kind of making some better strides in a better direction, and found the Lord back 5, 6 years ago, and that's really changed a lot of good stuff, you know. And so I'm just thankful, man. I'm really thankful that I get to play music still, and we're gonna be at the Yard tonight filling in for Charlie Robinson, playing for y'all's bash.
Well, thank you for doing that.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Excited to see you. And you were talking about finding the Lord. I heard you talking about this Saturday night at Munster.
Yeah.
And this last Saturday night at Munster. And I've seen you do this at shows. It is really a neat opportunity for you to tell people something that changed your life so dramatically in a setting like that, because you know people are having a good time and all that fun stuff, but man, just the opportunity to reach one person when you do that.
Right. Well, I try not to, you know, when something's really affected your life and it continues to affect your life daily, you know, you realize that it's real and that it's solidified and that, you know, it actually is a pillar in your life. It's something that's not just it's not going to go away. It's not a season. This is an actual life change.
Right, right.
And I found it to be the actual truth. And so, When I get on stage now, I look at that. I look out there and I'm like, this is my opportunity to just share my life with people. And I've been doing that for 22 years anyway. And now I'm just sharing what direction my life is in now. And so I just say, you know, found the Lord. I got saved. It's changed everything. It's made everything better. And it's all about this big, beautiful love that God has for you. And if you want to talk with me about it after the show, I'll be right over there by the merch table, and we can pray, or we can talk, or you can ask questions, and I'll try to find some answers with you,
right?
Or we can just hang out, and until then, let's play some songs about strippers and drinking beer,
yeah.
And just sort of shift gears a little bit, but it's been an amazing. You're right, it has been an amazing opportunity.
I find it really good for some folks, because you know some folks that maybe haven't found that in their life yet think, man, if I find God, then I'm not allowed to even have fun anymore.
Can't say strippers or beer.
Yeah, you've proven that you can still have fun in the world, and have such a passion in your life.
Yeah, man. You know, I think the biggest mistake and the biggest cover up is to think that when you become a Christian, you're perfect and you've got it all figured out. The truth is, the some of the strongest Christians I know are screw ups. You know, they just have these demons in their lives that they're trying to fight. But now they recognize what they are, and they go to God and they try to fight them in a real way.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to do it themselves, they're going to God and they're asking for supernatural strength and whatnot. And but they're really screwed up, and those aren't the ones you see on the face of the churches and stuff
right,
all the time.
Yeah.
And so it kind of get, being a Christian kind of gets a weird name. It gets this diluted connotation or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's for me, I'm a freaking mess, man. Every day,
aren't we all?
I battle these demons. I haven't had a drop of alcohol in over 6 years, but I want it every day,
mm-hmm.
every night.
Mm-hmm.
And I see people getting drunk and having fun, and I'm like, man, I miss that. And then I see them get drunk and throw up on themselves.
Think, don't miss
I'm
that.
I'm not doing that anymore. But
remember the next morning. Yeah.
I remember a lot more than I used to. I still can't remember what my wife told me to do, but I think that's just normal.
That's just part of being a guy. We forgot how to use a broom, too. It's just how it works out.
Ooh, ouch.
So music for you. What's going on music-wise?
We're in the middle. We're just about done tracking. We've got 13 songs for a brand new record.
Nice.
10 new ones. We've re-recorded Always and Forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we did that before on a record called 10 Years, which nobody really mm-hmm. knew about. It kind of didn't really get released very well, so I'm not sure many people knew we even did it. But we actually, on this time, we took the original recording, which was live from Fort David's Pub.
Right, yeah.
On the Double Exposure record we mm-hmm. did back in 2000 or 1999. And we've taken that a recording, and we just tried to hold true to it as much as possible. I think we kept the same tempo, the same drum groove.
Mm-hmm.
I played guitar on it, and we had the same bass line. We tried to keep everything the same.
How neat.
I had a girl come in and sing harmonies.
Mm-hmm.
I had Brendan Anthony play fiddle.
Oh, wow.
And John Carroll's on the guitar. And so everything's – and Lloyd Maines is playing dobro. And so it's
mm-hmm.
like everything's exactly as it was that night.
Oh, wow.
Except we made a studio recording.
Right.
And so we're trying to get something that's a little bit more updated. And it's just been a long time since we've never had a studio version of it, that people could – they say, we played your song at our wedding. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
that's such an honor and I feel bad because
I'm sorry.
It's a live recording. It sounds like crap.
It's a little rough, yeah.
But so
had
we did
to be
that.
Fun to get to do something like that and recreate that.
It's been going to the studio is a blast.
Mm-hmm.
We did a Rodney Crowell song, a Jerry Jeff Walker song, and then, like I said, I wrote 10 new songs. And so
cannot wait to hear this.
A whole slew of new stuff. And I'm excited, man. It's been about 3 years, and
mm-hmm.
people have been giving me a lot of grief. And
of course.
Hey, man, I got 3-year-old twins and a 1-year-old daughter laying a layoff.
It takes a lot of time, man. It's hard to write songs while changing diapers, that's for sure.
Especially when there's 3 in diapers.
Yeah, oh, good grief.
A lot of poop, man.
Man, you did have to grow up.
I had to do something.
Your poor wife couldn't handle that many children, plus you.
She's amazing.
Absolutely.
I was going to play you a song about her, but I left my capo on the bus. You don't have a capo in your
I not on. It's in my other pants. I'm sorry. I apologize.
If I was good enough, I might be able to transpose, but I don't think I will. Can I play you something?
I would love to hear something. Right. Our ranch fans would love to hear something. Corey Morrow in studio with us.
This is called The Top of My Heart. I wrote this with a couple of different guys, Matt Davis and, Market Junction, Matt Parrish.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, great guys. Band.
Yeah, we all sat down and wrote this one together. And so we're talking about what people are always saying, man, I mean it. I mean, I love you from the bottom of my heart. I mean it.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. And I spoke up. Somebody had said it in the room. I don't know what we were doing, but somebody said it. And I was like, what would it look like if you love somebody from the top of your heart? And everybody's like, oh, yeah, the deep thinker over there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you'd be kind of a turd of a man.
Yeah,
man.
You would.
Yeah. So we started off like that. I can see from the top of my heart a love that's paper thin. And there's nothing to lose when you put nothing in. And I can hear in the back of my mind those same old voices again, telling the same old story, stealing the hope of this man. And I've been afraid to live, running out. Love is patient and love is kind. From the top of my heart I've been trying. Lord, help me find the bottom this time. This ground has been tilled by a love whose harvest was always enough. And now I'm learning to live on the things I know fill me up. And I can see from the top of my heart to the bottom was a long way to go. And divine is the taste of the love that carried my soul. And I've been afraid to live, running out of time. But love is patient and love is kind. From the top of my heart I've been trying. And I've been afraid. Top of my heart, I've been trying. Lord, help me find the bottom. Oh, help me find the bottom. Lord, help me find the bottom this time.
What a great idea for a song. That worked out perfect.
Right on, man.
Corey Morrow in studio with us again tonight. Ranch Music Series. The Buffalo Ruckus will get things kicked off a little after 7 o'clock.
Man.
Maybe one of the greatest band names in all of Texas music right there.
Good, I saw that.
Let's be honest.
I'm coming early.
And then Corey Morrow to follow. Ranch Music Series, 21 and up welcome. Absolutely free of charge.
That's very cool.
Have you been out and done the sound check
yet?
Yeah,
we just did it.
Isn't that a wild-looking venue?
Yeah, I love what they've done, man.
It is
I really do. I like it.
It's really neat. It's fun. There's swings there.
Looks like a great place to hang out.
It really does.
Yeah. Sure.
Thank you so much for joining us, Corey.
Thank you for having me and for always playing our stuff and just loving on us, man. It's been a great time doing this.
Absolutely.
I'm very grateful.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Corey Morrow tonight, Ranch Music Series. It's the Sound of Texas, 95.9 The Ranch.